Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are September 5, Saturday Night, and Sugarcane.
I'd like to talk about three movies today that have something in common. They are all based on real things that actually happened in the real world. That said, a couple of them are very serious in their subject matter. And the one that I'll talk about in the middle is not so serious, but it also is based on reality. So obviously that's something the movies have always been interested in, is subjects that come out of real life. Lately, they seem to be extra popular. They still, though, can be very varied, as are the three movies I want to talk about today. September 5 is a docudrama, which is to say it's a fictionalized movie, but it's based on real things, and it follows the original facts pretty closely, as far as I can determine. Saturday Night is a comedy. It's a fiction film, but again, it's sort of a docudrama, and Sugarcane is an actual documentary. But let's begin with September 5. All these movies have been out for a little while, but they are now all streaming, and I thought it would be interesting to sort of group them, even though there are a lot of differences among the three of them. September 5 is really quite a powerful film. I think it's certainly the most powerful of these movies, and it is based on the fact that way back in 1972 at the Summer Olympics in Munich, Germany, West Germany as it was at the time, Black September, a Palestinian militant group, carried out a terrorist attack on the Israeli Olympic team during the Olympics while they were going on. And 11 members of that team were killed and hostages were taken along the way. And that is what this movie deals with. Again, it's a docudrama and it seems to follow the facts of the original case quite closely. However, what's kind of, I think, unusual and interesting, especially about September 5, and the subject is obviously really interesting because it's something that really happened, and it wasn't that long ago, 1972, but also this tells the whole story of this day, September 5, through the perspective of a TV news team. We have here network news. We have the ABC sports team. Sports now, not news, sports team is covering the Olympics because the Olympics, of course, is sports. And one of the most interesting things about the movie September 5 is that it raises the question of, is this sports bunch of journalists really qualified and equipped to cover this? Should they just turn the whole thing over to news? However, the head of the sports team, Rune Arledge, a famous name, by the way, in television history, if people don't recognize it, decides, nope, they're going to keep this, they're going to go with this, they're going to keep control of this, and they're going to tell this story. And various complications come up along the way. For example, they really, really need the satellite hookup. This is way back in 1972, remember. They really need that satellite connection in order to broadcast out to the world because all this stuff is going on live. But the satellite has been promised to a rival network during a certain period of time. So how are they going to deal with that? Are they going to have to cut away? Are they going to have to terminate their coverage? What's going to go on? So again, it's an interesting sort of a parallel story. On one side, it's obviously the story of this terrorist attack on September 5th, 1972. On the other hand, and simultaneously, it's the story of a bunch of journalists who normally don't cover this kind of thing and their effort to cover this effectively and in the moment and capture everything and convey it to the world. So that is really what the movie is about. And what we have is we have the Olympics going on. Every once in a while, we cut to one of the competitions. At one point during the story, the Olympics is canceled, but it's not canceled for the events that are already in progress. So there's a volleyball game going on, and there's some swimming going on, and there's some boxing going on. So every once in a while we cut away to that, but mainly we stay on these events which are unfolding moment by moment and which nobody knows what's going to happen next, and the TV crew is scrambling as much as they can to keep on top of things. Sometimes they have to result in a little bit of dishonesty, for example getting a member of the news crew to pretend to be an Olympic athlete in order to smuggle some cans of film past the guards that are keeping all the press out, that kind of thing. But mostly what we have is stuff inside the control room and near the control room as everybody scrambles to just cover this thing with nobody having any idea what's going to happen next. The movie is plotted, and again, I'm sure this probably follows just what happened on the day itself. But at one point, I would say around three quarters of the way through, there's a sudden switcheroo where suddenly it appears to be that events are tending in a certain direction. I won't give it away here. And then, it turns out that it's not trending in that direction, that actually all of that information was wrong. So there are little things like that that are sort of like movie narrative manipulation. But they probably follow more or less what actually happened on that day. And it's a really gripping movie to watch. The film has a couple of precedents in earlier movies. I was very much remembered of the Steven Spielberg movie Munich of around 9 years ago, which deals with this terrorist attack, but also very much with the aftermath when the Israelis vow to track down the evildoers and get revenge on them. So that's really what the Spielberg movie is more about. The movie also reminded me of United 93, an excellent movie from also back in 2006. Which deals with, of course, the 9/11 attacks and what happened on the airplane that went down during those attacks. This film reminded me of that film in that September 5 is also a really tense moment-by-moment docudrama that never lets up the tension. It's entirely believable, entirely plausible, and it really keeps building and building. It's not a great film, but it really does suck you in and hold you in. It has tremendous, tremendous, tremendous energy. Very, very powerful stuff going on throughout. Also, one more very important thing about September 5 that I want to mention is that it uses a whole lot of real archival footage from ABC television from September 5, 1972. So we are very often cutting between the characters in this movie, all of them based on real figures. We have Peter Sarsgaard playing Rune Arledge, and we have Ben Chaplin playing Marvin Bader, and Leonie Benesch playing Marianne Gebhardt, all these people who were very important on that day itself. Intercut with the real people from news footage that was on TV back on that day in 1972. So we hear the voice of Peter Jennings a great deal. We see Jim McKay quite a lot from that archival footage. So this film is really a virtuoso job of cutting between actors playing characters, playing parts, and the real archival news footage from that day. So I found September 5 to be a very, very gripping film to watch. It's a reminder of something cataclysmic and traumatic that happened way back on that day. And of course, terrorist attacks and things like that are by no means banished from the world today. So it's relevant in that respect. But it's also just a really powerful drama, a really powerful docudrama that really sucks you in and holds you every step of the way. Tremendous energy, tremendous plausibility, tremendous vitality. September 5, a movie I really recommend. And again, it is streaming now. It's easy enough to find. A good movie to look at. Now, I promised at the beginning we'd talk about a movie that's not so serious, and so I just want to mention Saturday Night. This movie's been out for a while now, but it's also very much based on reality in its way. And, of course, Saturday Night Live, which is the subject of Saturday Night, recently had its big anniversary telecast, which was watched by a humongous number of people. So, in a way, this is a good time to talk about the movie Saturday Night, directed by and co-written by Jason Reitman, something of a comedy specialist. And what Saturday Night tells is about the very first broadcast of the hugely popular television program Saturday Night Live. And so we have all kinds of figures who are still famous today from that show. First, there's the person who was the producer, who was in charge of everything, who was orchestrating everything, Lorne Michaels, played nicely in the movie by Gabriel LaBelle. But mainly, for a lot of people, we have these famous faces played by other faces because they're not playing themselves. These are actors playing them. We have Corey Michael Smith playing Chevy Chase, Ella Hunt playing Gilda Radner, Dylan O'Brien playing Dan Aykroyd, Matt Wood playing John Belushi, Kim Matula playing Jane Curtin, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we have a brief appearance, by the way, by Andy Kaufman, who I'm always interested in, played by Nicholas Brown. So we have these people. And what we mainly have in this movie, because this is a comedy movie about the first broadcast of Saturday Night Live, is a real emphasis on the sort of the craziness that went on, according to this movie, backstage. So we have all of the kind of people bumping into each other and not being prepared or being overprepared or not sure exactly what they're going to do. And Lorne Michaels trying to coordinate all this and trying to get everybody into position and trying to make sure everybody is going to do what they said they were going to do. These are all comedians who are on this show. And so some of them are really not just not quite sure whether they're going to go ahead and do what everybody expects them to do or whether they'll try to do something wild and crazy instead. So that's what the movie is about. Saturday Night is very much a farce. It is full of silly humor, silly comedy, silly slapstick to a certain extent, silly verbal humor to a certain extent, and it just has a whole lot of craziness going on within it. It wants us to believe this is really what things were like backstage. I doubt very much if I would take this film to be an accurate representation of reality. I think September 5 is a fairly accurate representation of what really happened at the time. Saturday Night is an attempt to make comedy out of this comedy, and so I'm sure it engages in all kinds of, story manipulation and timing changes and all of that. But I found it a mildly amusing movie to watch. It is not a hilarious comedy. It will not have you laughing out loud very much. I suspect it will not have you rolling in the aisles, certainly. But it's a likable movie, and I just sort of enjoyed watching it. I've never been a big Saturday Night Live person, but obviously it's a show that had, way back at its beginnings and still has today, a tremendous amount of influence on American popular culture. One still always sees people referring to the cold openings of Saturday Night Live as political commentary and that kind of thing. So it's a show, a TV show, that has a tremendous place in American culture. And Saturday Night Live is not a serious attempt to come to grips with its importance and its meaning and its popularity, but it's an interesting reflection of those things. And I had a mildly good time watching it. And now, once again, a very serious movie. This one is called Sugarcane, and it is about something really somber and serious and important, and it's a real documentary now. This is a movie which is about the schools that existed for a very long time in Canada and the United States. This movie deals with one of the Canadian schools and what went on there, but there were schools like this in many different parts of Canada, and there were schools just like this in many different parts of the United States as well. And these were schools to which young Indian people, now in America, these are what we now call Native Americans. In Canada, they're called First Nations people, but they were what are often called Indians. They were called at the time Indians, were forcibly, as children, sent off to these schools. The idea was, as somebody puts it, you see this phrase in the movie, to get rid of the Indian problem by taking these young people and forcing them out of their native cultures and forcing them into the mainstream white culture and doing so in ways that were brutal and not at all compassionate and sometimes were actually deadly. Children died at these schools, and then, wouldn't you know, the deaths were covered up, bodies were buried. They're still being found today, and that is what the movie Sugarcane is about. It was co-directed by Julian Brave Noisecat and Emily Cassie, and Noisecat certainly appears in the movie. There are a whole lot of people who talk about their recollections of that time, people who suffered during that time, people whose friends died during that time, people who themselves almost died during that time, and the kinds of tribulations that they suffered, physical tribulations, psychological tribulations, all kinds of traumas. That is what Sugarcane is about. So, I want to be careful in how I put this now. The subject matter of Sugarcane is exceedingly important and urgent. And on that level, I hope everybody sees the movie and really thinks about it. As a movie, I think Sugarcane is really bad. Reason being that its tone, its mood, its atmosphere is so somber and so bleak and so mournful that it never gathers any energy. It's as if it wanted to say, here is a serious look at a horrible thing that went on, and the reverberations are still all around us today among minority groups in America and Canada throughout North America. Everybody should wake up and pay attention to this, and yet the movie seems to be doing its best to put us asleep. It's full of people saying the same things. Different people say the same things that other people have just said. There's tremendous amounts of repetition in it, and this morose, gloomy music plays throughout the movie as if the movie were trying to get us, oh, again, to go to sleep. It's a movie that doesn't energize you, it narcotizes you. It doesn't make you think something should be done about this kind of thing. It makes you think, oh, what a shame that happened, and oh my gee, I'm getting sleepy right now. So I think that Sugarcane is a bad movie about a very, very important subject. I hope everybody sees it, and I hope resist the movie's temptation to try to kind of put you to sleep and make you just feel sad. I hope instead it wakes people up and makes them want to do something about things like this that still go on in the world. So Sugarcane, crucially important subject, crucially important for us all, feel tremendous compassion about these horrible things that happened not that long ago, but a movie that just, again, instead of energizing you, it narcotizes you. I wish it were a better movie. So that is my somewhat documentary-style story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films September 5, Saturday Night, and Sugarcane.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.